So I'm going to take the microphone privilege to introduce our next speaker in the absence of the Christmas crab. And this gentleman has had a long tradition of working with the National Federation of the Blind, using his intellect and talent to help open up opportunities for young blind kids in the areas of STEM. So I'm very pleased to introduce for his presentation this morning, Dr. Kerry Cipollo.
Adjust the mic there. I'm not as short as some people. Yes. No, anyway. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here with you all this morning. I was fighting a really bad cold over this weekend. I picked it up at an event in New York City the other day. And yesterday morning, I hit rock bottom and missed the morning session because of that. But I've got most of my voice back finally, so I'm really happy about that. So Sharon asked me to talk a little bit with you folks about my walk with chemistry and science. And so in order to do that, I've got to go back to the beginning. When I was 7 years old, I had 20/20 vision. And I was in the front yard of my home with my dad, and he was teaching me how to hit a baseball. And I would swing, and I would miss, and I would swing, and I'd miss over. And I really stunk at this game. And part of the reason was because I lost one eye when I was 18 months old. It had been removed, so I only had one functioning eye. So I had difficulty with depth perception. But I finally hit this one ball, and it went out of our yard into the neighbor's yard, and that was it. I'm like, wow, that was cool. My dad and I called it a night, turned in for bed not too long after that, woke up the next morning, and I couldn't see anymore. It was a very abrupt thing. it was so abrupt that my parents didn't believe me when I told them, hey, I'm having difficulty seeing, because they knew I didn't like school very much. And I was a first grader at this point in my life. So they sent me to school with my brothers and sisters, barely being able to see one step in front of another. And it was during standardized testing time, that time of the year, and I remember being handed my test booklet as a first grader. Come on, standardized tests. And I couldn't read any print on the page. I could only see horizontal black lines. And I was panicking that I was going to fail this test because I couldn't read any of the words. So I was scribbling all over the book. The proctors noticed this weird behavior and asked me what was wrong. I said I couldn't read the print anymore. So they sent me to the nurse's office. Imagine that. And she set me down in front of the eye chart. I could see the big letter E on the top, but nothing else. So they called my mom. She picked me up, and guess what? She took me straight to the eye doctor's office. And there it was revealed to us that I had suffered pretty much a substantial retinal detachment. And they asked if I got hit in the head or something. Like, no, I didn't get hit in the head. I was just playing baseball, but I didn't get hit in the head. And so as a result of this, my parents took me out of school. Not for days, not for weeks, what turned into months. And the reason why was because my parents didn't know about the National Federation of the Blind and what blind people were capable of doing. At that point, I didn't know this, but the only image of blind people my parents knew was the blind guy standing on the corner selling pencils and collecting money. And so they were very concerned about what my future was going to hold for me. And so eventually, spring turned into summer, which turned into fall, and again, I still wasn't going to school. And my oldest brother, Ronnie, sat me down, and he read me this story about this little kid that didn't like going to school. And it had picture imagery in it of this little kid ditching school every day, going to the playground, going to fish, doing things that he was doing in place of going to school. And the illustration showed all of his friends growing up and becoming young professionals while he still looked like a little kid. And at the end of the story, the little kid was all alone and unhappy with himself and didn't know what to do. And my oldest brother said, Kerry, this is you if you don't go back to school. Okay, that terrified me. So much so, I went to my mom and said, Mom, when can I go back to school? And she just looked at me and she said, I don't know. Because my parents weren't connected with the parents of blind children. They didn't know. And so not too long after that, My parents got connected with the special education teacher at our local elementary school. And he told them about our local instructional unit for visually impaired or at that time handicapped kids. And got us a meeting with a caseworker. And within a week, I had a vision evaluation. And not too long after that, guess what? I got to go back to school. This time with the CCTV and hand magnifiers. I was still classified as low vision at that time. And I now was in second grade. I'd missed the rest of first grade, so my parents didn't want me held back. So they made me learn all of the first grade stuff while I was learning the second grade stuff. And that was my first exposure to being a sponge, wanting to learn as much as I could. Now, up until this point, I did not like school. And when you have your education taken away from you like that, when you get to go back to school, I was never taking my education for granted since then. And I really think that transition for me was a huge step for me as I matured as an 8-year-old kid. So I took a liking to math, started doing math in my head, and I learned how to do 2- and 3-digit multiplication in my head really well because my classmates all had 4-function calculators and they didn't have a talking one for me, so I had to teach it all myself the hard way. And but I really, really liked the math and went on into middle school, and in my 8th grade year, I was asked if I wanted to take algebra in my IEP meeting. And I had never been to an IEP meeting before, and I had no idea all these people met every year to talk about me and what I wanted to do. It was like kind of a cool thing for me as a 13-year-old kid. And I said that I wanted to take algebra before I even knew how to spell it or what it meant. But I did it, and that's when I learned about speaking mathematics in ambiguous terminology. I got a lot of take this times this equals that from my algebra teacher in class. Not very helpful, not differentiating between numerators and denominators and quantities and so on and so forth. And I struggled through algebra. But fortunately, he gave us all in the class a saving grace. If we did really well on our final exam, it would replace our quiz and test grades. Well, I tended to struggle the first 2.5 months of each quarter and kick butt at the end of the quarter and did well on the final. And so I did well in algebra, as it turned out. And so, again, going from arithmetic math to algebraic math, now I went into high school into geometry. All right, how is a blind student going to do geometry without a Braille book? Now, I learned Braille when I was in 7th grade, was doing algebra with the Nemeth code in 8th grade. Now I was entering 9th grade with geometry with tactile graphics, and learning how to discern those for the first time was quite a challenge for me. But the first 2.5 months of that school year, I didn't have a book at all. So I was asked, just go sit in on the geometry class and learn whatever you could absorb. Well, I got next to nothing out of that. So when the Braille book finally arrived just before Thanksgiving, the high school arranged for me to have a tutor that met with me every day in the hopes that I would be caught up in time to take the midterm exam in January. So that meant I had to go to school on the Friday and Saturday of Thanksgiving week and over Christmas break. That's when I learned thermoform paper melts on dashboards in the wintertime. Got me out of taking a couple of tests around Christmas time. But eventually, I had to go back into that sponge mode to learn all my theorems and postulates and corollaries and writing proofs and such on a Perkins Braille writer. But I got caught up, and I took the final exam on time, I was happy to say. But it took a lot of work to do that. And one other really cool experience I had in high school was in sophomore year biology class. We were doing frog dissections, and my group mates were getting to have all the fun and doing all the cutting, and they were just telling me what was going on and all these hands-on things, and I wasn't touching much of anything. a real passive approach to learning, if you will. So my biology teacher said, Carrie, would you be willing to stay after school with me to do a frog dissection with me? I said, okay, that'd be cool. So we sat down, and he cut the frog open and let me get my hands in there. I wasn't wearing gloves at this time. It was bare hands, feeling lungs, liver, the heart, and so on and so forth. And I felt all these stringy things in there. And he cut a big wad of it out and put it in my hand and said, Carrie, do you know what this is? And I'm rubbing it between my fingers. I said, no, what is that? He said, that's frog fat, Carrie. Ooh. Wow. He says, Carrie, do you know what frog fat is useful for? I said, no, what? And he proceeded to take my hand and put it in his, and he rubbed it really hard. He says, Carrie, this is hand lotion. And my hands smelled like formaldehyde for weeks after that. They did. But I classify that as multi-sensory learning. Never forget that. So anyway, that was biology, and went through chemistry class, not being allowed to touch any laboratory equipment. I actually hated chemistry when I graduated high school. It was the most hands-off experience I had in my life. Another story I'll tell you about high school was junior year. I wanted to take the senior calculus course, and we had a special IEP meeting to discuss this. And basically, I was told in this meeting with my parents there, my current pre-calculus teacher there, and my TVI, and so on and so forth. They told me no blind person had taken calculus before, and that if I wanted to choose that as my path, they could not support me. That's what I was told. And I didn't know any better, because at this time, I was a junior in high school. I did not know the National Federation of the Blind, and I was a very quiet, shy individual at that point in my development. Nobody believes me to this day, but it was true. And I remember getting up and walking out of that room and slamming the door behind me and walking back to my physics class. This is one of my most embarrassing moments of high school I'll share with you. I was in class, and I just started crying. I did, and my teacher came over to me and said, Carrie, what's wrong? And I said, I just realized I'm always going to be limited in what I am able to achieve, because that's what they told me. And so senior year, I ended up not taking calculus. I took business math class, where I learned how to calculate sales tax, gratuities, balance a checkbook, all useful skills, mind you, but not where I wanted to be. proceeded to meet with my guidance counselor to pick a major in college. And all my surveys that came back after junior said I should be a scientist or an engineer. And my guidance counselor said to me, well, since you can't do calculus, let's pick something else for you to do. How about psychology or social work? So on and so forth. I mean, those are, again, respectable fields, just not what I was dying to do. I eventually settled on a major in business administration with a minor in psychology, and off to college I went. And I graduated, and shortly after graduation, I had the great fortune of finding the National Federation of the Blind and going to my first national convention in Dallas, Texas, one of the many. And I'll never forget one of my first general sessions I went to, because I couldn't afford to go the whole week. I showed up midweek for the end of the week. And it was an employment panel, and the first speaker was a blind high school calculus teacher. I will never forget that, because I said, if I can't take it, who's she to be teaching it? And then another member of the panel was a blind electrical engineer, and I'd always wanted to be an engineer, so I'm like, whoa. So in 45 minutes, my whole life changed, because I realized I could do anything I wanted to do. But that's not what I was told. That's not what I was taught. And so as we all know, national conventions are very transformative experiences for all of us. So for those of you that haven't been before, you definitely need to go. so shortly after that, I Went to Purdue University for undergraduate, where I changed my major not once, twice, but five times. And I was bouncing between electrical engineering, education, communications, and eventually settled on a dual degree in chemistry and communications. Now, why did I do that? Well, part of my struggling in college was I didn't have the greatest blindness skills. I was getting lost, my braille reading was slow. So I forced the hand of my rehab counselor and said, I don't want to go back to college until I go for blindness skills training at Blind Incorporated in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we all know that's our training program in Minnesota. And I said, I wanted to go there because I wanted to learn how to survive in the wintertime. And if I could survive in the winter there, I could survive anywhere. And I remember while I was in training, we were below 0 degrees in January for over 3 weeks. When it got above zero, it started to get warmer. I got really good at snow travel. And eventually got my blindness skills to the point where I felt I could do anything I wanted to do and go anywhere. Now, to prove this, to push this to a test, I did study abroad one summer. And while I was in study abroad at Purdue, I was in the first class of students to go to Cambridge University in England from Purdue. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But early on, my classmates adopted a little misconception about blind people, and that was, if anybody travels with Carrie, if anything happens to him, you are financially responsible for that. So what happened was nobody wanted to travel with me anywhere or all over Western Europe. So what did I do? I traveled on my own. And I went to France, Milan, Italy, Geneva, Switzerland. And I told my friends, don't worry, if something happens, you weren't there. You had nothing to do with it. And man, I had some great, great times in Europe, to say the least. But coming back with my Blind Incorporated skills in tow and really self-confidence is high, I graduated with my degree in chemistry from Purdue and went on to Penn State University, where I started my graduate studies, and I encountered another roadblock there. You have to interview for a research advisor. That's one of the major things you have to do in your first semester. And I interviewed with two faculty, and they gave me the, hi, nice to meet you, this is great, this is what I do, yeah, so on and so forth, that's cool. So then the third guy, we were supposed to meet four faculty members, and this guy played the avoidance game and kept skipping my appointments with him. But eventually I got to meet with him, and he went through the whole presentation about what he does, and I went through my whole presentation about how I was going to do my research and work on a graduate-funded project and so on and so forth. So I get to the point where I make the ask. So would you be open to having me join your research group? And this guy says, no, absolutely not, because I view you as a financial liability. Why should I invest my grant dollars in you when I can invest them in someone else that'll work more efficiently? And of course, what did I know? I didn't know how to argue that. It's all based on opinion and apprenticeship. So what I made the best of a bad situation. I thanked him for his honesty. Because you don't want to be somewhere where you're not really wanted, right? And so shortly after that appointment, I went into my fourth and final interview with the faculty member that I really wanted to work with. His name is Tom Malouk. And he's a well-published inorganic chemist. And I went through my whole presentation. He went through what he did. And I got to the point of the ask. I said, so would you be open to having me join your research group? And he said, yes, I would. Wow. And then I was very excited. I said, are you sure? Are you sure? He says, well, yes, Carrie. You're not concerned that I'm a blind person? He says, no, Carrie. He says, you have been problem solving your entire life to overcome your disability. That is the essence of what a scientist does. So he definitely got it. And so I went on and I graduated from Penn State University, went through a number of job searching opportunities for faculty positions. Did any of you know that a university typically spends about $1 million on a job search to hire one chemistry professor? $1 million. I mean, as a blind person, how the heck am I going to do that, right? But I submitted my first 75 packages or so, got no responses. And eventually I got a phone interview. Okay, I didn't get a bite after that. And eventually, I got a phone interview, learned how to answer those questions, got a site interview, because I knew that if I could get invited to campus, I could sell anybody, because I have top-notch cane travel skills, Braille skills. I can use JAWS with PowerPoint, the Braille display. I know I can do this. And so once I got my first site interview at Illinois State University, I got made my first offer as a faculty member, and I accepted it, where I was hired to teach general chemistry laboratory to sighted kids. And as part of this, for those of you that have ever had chemistry class, what is one of the number one things the teacher's concerned about? Who's going to get little blind Johnny out of class in case of an emergency, right? Well, in this case, I was the blind professor, and I had to make sure my students got out in case of an emergency. So on this one particular day, one of my students started what I call an unauthorized fire, triggering the fire alarm to go off. We had to evacuate the whole building. The lab was filled up with smoke, and I had to make sure everybody was out before I closed the door and left the building. And, of course, when the fire alarm goes off in the chem building, they send the helicopters, the fire trucks, the police. They send everybody. And when the fire marshals came out and they announced who was in classroom 104, I had to raise my hand in front of all the students and faculty. They escorted me back into the building. And they said, all right, what were you guys doing here? Is it safe? Can we let people back in? So on and so forth. They did not care that I was blind. I can tell you that right now. And that's when I realized that I had achieved inclusion in the science profession. And I just want to close by saying we as blind people have to problem solve to overcome our blindness each and every day. And if we learn to problem solve to get done what we want to do to help us be what we want to be when we grow up, we can truly live the lives we want. Thank you very much.
Sure, you bet.
Fantastic. So, Madupe, if you're here, come up here. Madupe Kusura, come on up here. How about a door prize for Carrie? You know, I want to publicly thank Carrie and his partner Jazz for spending the convention with us and for using your talents to get parents and students excited about science. So thank you very much.